This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين. وبعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we went through an introduction on the most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some important rules and guidelines that we should be aware of when talking about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was just one last thing that I wanted to add to that, and that will be related to, you know, pretty much everything that we will be talking about when we go through the various names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is using the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Using them in our dua. And so, there are certain things that we can use to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever we want to make our dua. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us different things that we can use, that we can mention when we make our dua. Among them are the names of Allah. But what else can we use to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Besides his names, what else can we use to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Good deeds.
Your good deeds. So you did a good deed, you say, "Oh Allah, I did this such and such good deed." You mention it, hoping that by me mentioning this good deed, Allah will answer and accept my dua. And so among the things that we can use are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can use them, as we will see inshaAllah ta'ala. So, when you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, then you call upon Allah with that name that alludes to the forgiveness, the attribute of Allah being all-forgiving. You say, "Ya Ghafoor, the one who is most forgiving, forgive me my sins. Ya Rahim, the most merciful, have mercy upon me," and so on and so forth. However, an important thing to mention here is that we use these names in general. We use the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general when we're making our dua. As for specifically stating that a person should, you know, if he has such and such problem, he should mention this particular name of Allah such and such times, like 99 times or 100 times, there is no evidence for that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor any of his companions. And so you have certain books that have been, that have compiled the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with each name it mentions, if you have such and such problem, such and such illness, sickness, whatever it be, then mention this name, and mention it this many times, and you'll be cured, and your problem will be resolved, and so on and so forth. None of those have any backing from no verse of the Quran, nor any hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, nor any evidence from any of the companions that they did any of that. And so we use these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general, without specifying it. And so when we specify something, and we include it in our ibadah, and it becomes a part of our ibadah, if it does not have precedence from the Quran or from the Sunnah, or at least from some of the companions, then this ibadah is termed as a bid'ah. It is called a bid'ah, an innovation in the deen. And the Prophet ﷺ warned us from innovating in the deen. And so today we're going to start with some of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over the coming weeks, inshallah, every week we'll take different names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about them, mentioning their meanings, and then talking about how what these names teach us. What these particular names teach us from their meanings and how we can use them in our lives. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, has informed us of many of his names and attributes. But the question is there one name that is the name or the greatest name? And if so, what is it? First of all, is there one name that is considered the greatest and the most superior of Allah's names? Is there?
Yeah.
Yes. And if so, what is it?
Allah.
Allah. There's actually a difference of opinion among the scholars. And so there are some scholars who said that there is no such name that is more superior, because they said that all of Allah's names are great and special, and we should not attribute superiority to one name or over the other. And so all of Allah's names are superior. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah belong the most beautiful names, without exception. They are all beautiful, they are all superior. However, the majority of the scholars, they said that there is one special name, and that is based on a hadith. Anas radiallahu anhu, he says that he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once. He was sitting with him, and there was a man who was praying his salah, and then he made dua. He made dua to Allah. He said, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anna laka alhamdu la ilaha illa anta al-mannan badi'u as-samawati wal-ard ya dal jalal wal-ikram ya hayyu ya qayyum. So he called upon Allah with these attributes and names. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Anas, لَقَدْ دَعَ اللَّهَ بِاسْمِهِ الْأَعْظَمِ الَّذِي إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابُ وَإِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, first of all, the meaning of the dua, he said, O Allah, this man, he said, O Allah, I ask you by virtue of the fact that all praise is due to you. There is no God besides you, and you have no partner or associate. You are the bestower, the originator of the heavens and the earth, the possessor of majesty and honor. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, the ever-living, the sustainer. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard this, he said that this man has asked Allah by his greatest name, by which if he is called upon, he answers. And if he is asked by this name, he gives. So here the Prophet ﷺ specifically said that this man called upon Allah by his greatest name, proving that Allah does have a name which is considered the greatest, the most superior. In another hadith, similar to this, from a different sahabi, Buraydah radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet ﷺ heard a man saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka anni ashhadu annaka antallah, la ilaha illa antal ahadu samadu alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. This man, he said, oh Allah, I ask you, by virtue of the fact that I bear witness that you are Allah, there is no God but you. You are the eternal refuge, who neither begets, nor is born, nor is there to him any equivalent. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard this, he said to the man, you have indeed asked Allah by the name which, if he is asked by it, he gives, and if he is called upon it, he answers. So the question here is, what is that name? So now we've answered the question, does Allah have a name that is considered the greatest, the most superior? The answer is yes, because the Prophet ﷺ affirmed that. But now the question is, what is that name? And this is where the scholars, they differed. And so Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the one who wrote the famous commentary for Sahih al-Bukhari, he lists 14 different views of the scholars concerning what is that name. And so there are 14 different opinions. And so perhaps the most, you know, correct view out of all of them is that was chosen by the majority of scholars, and that is, as the brothers answered, that name of Allah, which is considered the greatest, the most superior, is Allah. It is Allah. And so that is because this name, it encompasses all the other names and attributes of Allah. And it is the name that was never given to anyone other than Allah. So, what further proves that, you know, this is the greatest name of Allah? First of all, in those two ahadith that we mentioned, in both of them, the first name that was mentioned by that man when he made that dua, what was the very first name? It was Allah. He said, what did he say? He said, I ask you, O Allah. In the first hadith, he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi annaka. So he said, Allahumma. And Allahumma basically refers to the name Allah. What also proves it is the fact that no other name has been mentioned in the Quran as much as this name. So if we were to actually go back to the Quran and, you know, research how many times Allah has been mentioned, it has been mentioned approximately 2,700 times. No other name has been mentioned as much. No other name even comes close to that number. Also, all the other names of Allah are identified by this name. How? When you want to refer to Allah's different names, what do you say? You say, the name of Allah Al-Alim, for example. You say, the name of Allah Al-Hayy. Or you say, Allah's name Ar-Rahman. So you're identifying Allah by these different names, but you're referring to Him, Allah. You don't say the opposite. You don't say, for example, Al-Alim's name, Allah. Ar-Rahman's name, Allah. So all the names of Allah go back to, are referred to, by His name Allah. Also, the majority of the du'as in the Quran are also referred to by this name. Allahumma. And then after that, Rabbana. Also, it is the name of Allah that Allah chose to be in the greatest phrase that a person can ever utter. Which is what? The kalima of al-tawheed, the shahada. Allah chose for this name to be in the shahada. How many times? Twice. In both parts of the shahada. So when it comes to belief in Allah, I testify and bear witness, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول Allah. The messenger of Allah. He didn't say the messenger of Ar-Rahman. So in both instances, Allah uses this word, and this is the greatest phrase that a person can ever utter. It is the phrase that brings a person into the fold of Islam. And it is the phrase, it is the meaning of the shahada, that if a person denies or does anything to nullify it, it takes him out of Islam. So what does Allah mean? Allah actually comes from ilah. And so ilah is actually another of Allah's names. Al-ilah. But when we put it together, the al with ilah, when we put it together, it becomes a separate name. And that is Allah. And so, alif and lam, whenever we add it in the Arabic language, it makes a word to become what?
Definite,
specific. So you say, for example, masjid. You say, for example, هذا مسجد. This is a masjid. But when you add the alif lam and you say al-masjid, it becomes the masjid. It's no longer a masjid. It is the masjid. You're basically specifying it. So the name Allah comes from ilah, and Allah refers to Himself in the Quran also by ilah. Wa ilahukum ilahun wahid. Your ilah. And so what is ilah? What is the meaning of ilah? Ilah basically means a deity or one who is worshipped. Ilah basically means one who is worshipped. So it basically means God. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 163, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهُ وَاحِدٌ. Your ilah, your God, is only one God. لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم. There is no God except Him, the most compassionate, the most merciful. And this is what we also find in the Shahada. When we say لا إله, لا إله, there is no لا إله, there is no God. Illa Allah, except Allah. So ilah basically means God, or the one who is worshipped. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 31, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. They have not been commanded to worship except one God. And so this is where the name Allah comes from. It comes from Ilah. And Ilah means the one who is worshipped. The one who is worshipped. And so that's why the disbelievers of Quraysh, when the Prophet ﷺ came to them with Islam and came to them with Tawheed, what did they say? They had their false gods, and they couldn't understand this concept of one God. So they said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. They said, has he made the Aliha? Aliha is the plural of what?
Ilah.
Of Ilah. They said, has he made the Aliha, the gods, Ilah and Wahida, into one God? This indeed is something strange. For them, it was something strange. They couldn't understand it. Not that they did not recognize one creator, one supreme being. They knew that there is only one creator who created everything, who is in control of everything. They did not deny that there exists such a being. But their problem was in worship. Their problem was does that one being, that one creator, does he deserve worship alone? Or can we direct our ibadah to others? And so for them, they believed that it was okay to worship multiple gods, multiple objects of worship. So ilah means an object of worship, something that is worshipped. And they believed that it was okay to worship anything. So when the Prophet ﷺ came, what did he come to teach them? Did he come to teach them that, you know, there's only one creator who created everything, who provides for you, who controls everything, and, you know, he is the only creator? Is that it? No. That was not the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nor was it the message of any of the prophets before him. But rather, all the prophets, their message was that there's only one God who deserves to be worshipped. There's only one God who deserves to be worshipped. And that is Allah. So what is special and unique about this name Allah? First of all, it is the source of all of Allah's names and attributes. As all other names and attributes are attributed to this name, as we mentioned already. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when he talks about his names, what does he say? وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To who? To Allah belongs the most beautiful names. So, the most beautiful names belong to who? To Allah. So Allah used his name Allah to refer to all of his names. Also, we have a list of Allah's names in the Quran that come in one place. Where are they? Which surah? A list of approximately 15 names or 17 names that come together in Surah Al-Hashr, at the end of Surah Al-Hashr. How does it begin? هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ هُوَ اللَّهُ. So Allah begins, He begins mentioning His names by this name, that He is Allah. And then He mentions His other names. So basically, all the names and attributes of Allah go back to this name. That's what's unique about this name. The second thing that is unique about this name is that we cannot drop the Alif Lam when we are making dua by this name. So when you call upon Allah by His names and you say, Ya, O Allah, for example. You say, O Allah, Ya Allah. His other names, what do? We drop the Alif Lam with all of the other names. So for example, it is Ar-Rahman, the Rahman, Al-Ghafoor, the Ghafoor, Al-Khaliq, the Creator. But when we are making dua now and we say Ya, we don't say Ya Ar-Rahman, we don't say Ya Al-Ghafoor, we have to drop the Alif Lam. So we say Ya Rahman, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Khaliq, and so on and so forth. It's only with Allah's name Allah that we cannot drop the Alif Lam. If we do that, then it becomes another name. Which name is that? Ilah. And that is also one of Allah's names. So it becomes, if you drop the Alif Lam, it becomes Ya Ilah. And it's no longer Allah. Thirdly, what's unique about this name is that all the du'as and all the various adhkar that we have been taught have been associated with this name and not any other name. Think about it. The tasbih. What do we say? Subhanallah. Tahmeed. Alhamdulillah. Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Basmalah. We start with Allah. Bismillah. And then we mention Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Al-Isti'ada. A'udhu Billahi Min Ash-Shaytan Ar-Rajim. And even in the other version of it, what is it? A'udhu Billah As-Sami' Al-Alim Min Ash-Shaytan Ar-Rajim. Still, Allah comes first. So all of the various adhkar and du'as that we have, they mention this specific name instead of any other of Allah's names. Also, the most beloved name to Allah is which name? Which name is the most beloved to Allah? I don't mean Allah's names. I'm talking about naming somebody with a name. Abdullah. And Abdurrahman. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أحب الأسماء إلى الله Abdullah wa Abdurrahman. The most beloved of names to Allah are Abdullah and Abdurrahman. So this name of Allah, without a doubt, is a very, very unique name. It is the greatest of Allah's names. There is no other name more greater than it. Finally, what does this name teach us? What is the, you know, What is the fruit that we gain from learning about this name, Allah? Firstly, what we learn is that the most important thing about Allah that is the most important thing about Him is identifying Him as the one who deserves to be worshipped. And so Allah did not choose any other name or any other attribute for His greatest name except something that describes His uluhiyya, His ubudiyya, Him deserving worship. There's nothing else more important about Allah besides that. And that's why, as we mentioned, that's why the prophets and the messengers were sent by Allah. This was the very thing that resulted in the conflict between the prophets and their people. Nothing else. Yes, there were other issues, but this was the primary issue of conflict. The battles that took place between the Prophet ﷺ and his people was over this. As long as they accepted this, everything else would be secondary. It was this that Allah sent each and every single prophet to convey to his people. The number one thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one deserving of worship. So do not worship others besides Him. And that's why the greatest sin that a person can commit is shirk. Because it goes against this very fundamental thing that Allah sent the prophets and messengers for. And so we learn that Allah chose this name for Himself, which this is its meaning. Because there's nothing more important about Allah than to identify Him as the one who deserves to be worshipped. The second thing that we learn from this name is the importance of calling upon Allah with this name. If this is the greatest name of Allah, then there's no doubt that we should refer to this name when we make dua to Allah by either saying Ya Allah or Allahumma, which basically means the same thing. That's why the majority of the du'as of the Prophet ﷺ start in this way that he taught us. Now how about the du'a that was made by that man? And the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, indeed he called upon Allah by the greatest thing that he could ever be called upon, that if he is called upon this, then he'll answer it. And so to be on the safe side, if you want your dua to be accepted, then to be on the safe side, use those words that were used in that hadith. So that man, when the Prophet ﷺ heard him, he obviously heard him referring to Allah in such a way that he said this. So it's good if we memorize that dua and the different wordings. And so he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anna laka alhamd, la ilaha illa anta al-mannan, badi'u as-samawati wal-ard, ya dhal jalal wal-ikram, hayyu ya qayyum. Finally, among the things that we learn from this name is that there is no equivalent to this name, Allah. There is no equivalent to it. It is the most superior of Allah's names. Therefore, there's nothing that is equivalent to it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to introduce Himself to Musa alayhi salam, He used this name. when Musa alayhi salam came to the mountain and he conversed with Allah, Allah spoke to him and said, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهِ, I am Allah. So there is no equivalent to this name. If we understand that there's no equivalent to this name, then how about referring to Allah as God? Are we allowed to refer to Allah and translate His name as God? Or not? Okay, so you say that the meaning of Allah is God. The translation of Allah is God. Okay, so now you're translating and you're saying that Allah means God. Yes, ilah means God, as we said. Ilah means something that is worshipped, a deity, a God. But when we say Allah, we should leave it as Allah. We should leave it as Allah. So God is not the equivalent for Allah, nor is the God. We shouldn't say the God and say this means Allah. And so the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are as Allah mentioned them in the Quran, in the Arabic language, and they should stay that way. They should stay that way. However, if we are trying to introduce the idea of who Allah is to someone who's not familiar with who Allah is, like non-Muslims, then here we can use the term God if they've never heard of Allah or they don't know what Allah means. So here we can say, you know, Allah is God as you are familiar with God. So in your language and in your upbringing, you've understood that there is a supreme being, a creator who created everything. And you refer to him as God. For us, we refer to him as Allah. Once they understand that, don't go back to using God. Stick to Allah. And so that's why it's best not to use God even in translations of the Quran. Unfortunately, there are many translations out there that use God and they replace it with Allah, wherever Allah is mentioned in the Quran. And so even if you're talking to non-Muslims, even if you were to, you know, give them a translation of the Quran, choose a translation that defines who Allah is, maybe in the beginning, maybe in the footnote, it defines what we mean by Allah. So that, you know, they understand it after that, wherever Allah's name is mentioned, they understand, you know, what is being referred to here. And that goes with any other language as well. Not just English, but any other language. There is no equivalent for the name Allah. There is no equivalent for the name Allah. But again, if you want to introduce the idea of who Allah is and the person you're speaking to does not understand except by using something from their language, use that. But don't, you know, stick to that thereafter. And Allah knows best. Are there any questions? So today we covered two of the names of Allah. What were they?
Allah.
Allah and?
Al-Ilah.
Al-Ilah. So the other name that we covered today is Al-Ilah. So ilah means God, and when we say al-ilah, it means the ilah, the God.
Do you have a reference for the hadith of Hurayra?
Yeah, it's that hadith, and even the other one, is mentioned in the books of the Sunan. Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Al-Nasa'i. It's not mentioned in Sahihain, but it's mentioned in those Sunan. So inshallah, next week we'll move on to Allah's name, Ar-Rabb, and some other names. And what we'll try to do is we'll try to group the names that are basically that allude to the same attribute, just like we did today with Allah and Ilah, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.